From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Stretching along a huge portion of Riverside Park, the American Queen Riverboat recently made a stop in La Crosse. It's one of the largest paddlewheel boats cruising the river these days. Many people came down to greet passengers, gawk at the vessel, and reflect on years past when huge riverboats were a more common sight downtown. WPR's Thomas Rehfeldt talked with historical reenactors, tourists, and steamboat enthusiasts about their love of the boats and the Mississippi River.
My name is Diane Breezer. I am a volunteer with La Crosse County Historical Society, and we're here down at the Riverside in La Crosse, Riverside Park, greeting visitors from the American Queen. We do the tours of the city, of the elegant era of the city.
And if somebody wants to see something, just walk up, because you're 20 feet away from this gorgeous riverboat, which is, I don't know how long, it looks like 200 feet long and 50, 60 feet wide. If you ever get the chance to go inside the thing, totally opulent. It's like a five-star hotel inside. My name is Joe Tyson. I will be again General Cadwallader Washburn.
Oh, no, that is my history Washburn. Crush. Yeah. My history crush, yeah, right there. C.C. Washburn. Friend, right? I know. Yeah. Shh, don't tell my husband.
This is public radio. We can say these things.
Oh yeah, this is true.
Just a visitor passing through town and happened to get an opportunity to visit and see the Mississippi Queen, right? And it's beautiful. It's just spectacular. I've seen pictures of it, magazines and that, and to have the opportunity to see it up close, firsthand, is just fantastic. I remember the old days when the Delta Queen used to come through, and I don't think the Delta Queen's even floating anymore, so this is a really nice opportunity for me.
Way down.
I sang with the Larry Bush Trio, and we sing all around Wisconsin, Iowa, and parts of Illinois. And we were contacted by the boat to come in and do some entertainment, and we got to spend the evening with some really great people.
My great-great-grandfather came to La Crosse in 1847 when there was seven people here. And people have been coming down every time a riverboat would come. Everybody came down to this is called the levee. And everybody came down here to trade and find out new merchandise that was coming in town. And it was just a great time. There's always been music. The boats had calliopes and it attracted crowds. And people are been coming down here since La Crosse was founded in 1841.
La Crosse was a river town. La Crosse is still a river town. I've said all along that long before any Europeans came here, the river was a source of food, of transportation, and of recreation. Today, the river is a source of food, transportation, and recreation. Nothing has changed in hundreds and hundreds of years. So it is iconic, it is classy, it is who we are, a river town, in fact, one of the biggest river towns in about a 250-mile stretch.
She's more in style for the year than I am. I'm just colorful. That's it. With a colorful bow tie.
Too bad the folks can't see my lovely hat.
And your lovely ankle.
No. Cannot be showing ankle.
WPR's Thomas Rehfeldt brought us that audio postcard after the American Queen Riverboat made a recent stop in La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. River biologists, chemists, historians, and geologists from all over the world are gathering in La Crosse next week. The fourth biennial International Symposium of the International Society for River Science is converging in this area to explore the similarities and challenges that river systems are experiencing globally. I recently talked with members of the symposium steering committee. Roger Harrow is a UW-La Crosse biology professor and UWL River Studies Center assistant director. And Gretchen Benjamin, she's with the Nature Conservancy and works on Mississippi River issues.
Rivers around the world are all experiencing different types of use, multiple uses, and if we can share experiences and perhaps learn from one another and do things better in the future than perhaps we have in the past, then the exchange is very worthwhile for everybody who participates.
And Roger, I bet you could say that from a research perspective too.
Oh, sure. And there's a lot of different ways to look at rivers. And so, for example, we've got a special session that Gretchen's going to be handling or moderating. One of the speakers is coming in. She's a historian that's going to be talking about the dual development of the Mississippi River and the Volga River during critical times in both nations' development in terms of industrialization. So there's really it's a focus about how rivers have played a role in our civilization. So there's a lot of aspects, a lot of unique aspects that scientists are going to be able to, you know, look at other scholars as well and get a feel for what they're working on and the importance of rivers altogether.
Gretchen, the Nature Conservancy is one of the associate members of this international group. Can you talk about the partnership between both organizations and maybe if, I don't know, if there's interesting work that has sort of stemmed from that partnership?
The real work between the Nature Conservancy and ISRS is the fact that this whole idea of river exchange is trying to do things better, trying to manage rivers better. And in many cases, it's trying to get people to understand what are the needs for navigation, what are the needs for water supply, what are the needs for energy, and how do we think about the ecosystem while we're thinking about all these other pieces and put them together better than perhaps we have before. So that's why the Nature Conservancy has been real involved in this type of work in these types of organizations. We do actually work on 8 different rivers around the world, very large. We call them the Great Rivers. But that interaction with a group like ISRS helps us to spread ideas and also get ideas from other folks.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the upcoming symposium of the International Society for River Science. It's going to be here in La Crosse, August 22nd through 28th. My guests today are part of the symposium steering committee. There's committee chair Roger Harrow. He's a UW-La Crosse biology professor and UWL River Studies Center assistant director. Gretchen Benjamin works for the Nature Conservancy, and she primarily focuses on the Mississippi River. So why have this conference here in La Crosse? In past years, it's been held in Florida, Germany, and China. Now here we are in La Crosse.
Correct. It's about 3 years ago, a colleague of ours, Dr. Martin Toms from the University of New England in Australia, was participating as a Fulbright Fellow at the USGS Upper Midwest Environmental Sciences Center.
Right here in La Crosse?
Right here in La Crosse, and interacting with colleagues over there. And he's been with the Society for a long time. Saw the potential, the beauty of the area, the size of the river, and how much research is going on here in the La Crosse area and Winona area, and said, well, this is a logical place for us to hold this symposium. And he approached us and asked us to put together specifically the River Studies Center at UWL to propose a meeting plan, and we did, and it was accepted. And we pulled together a lot of people, including Gretchen here, and we've been working on it for about 2 years. So it's a real exciting opportunity for the community, for our colleagues in the sciences, and for our students, too.
You know, and I think also people who live here don't understand that it's almost a secret how beautiful this place is.
Mm. Some people take it for granted.
Other people come here and they're just wowed by what it looks like. But one of the really interesting things about this area is not only do we have this incredible research going on, but we've done some incredible restoration. The whole lower part of, we live on Pool 8 as it's known, and the whole lower part of Pool 8 has been restored to almost pre-lock and dam conditions at this point in time. We're going to get people out there to see that. I think even just as folks fly in here, they're just going to be blown away by how beautiful it is. And you come here late in October, and late in August, and it's gorgeous out there. So I think from a river perspective, this is a really great place to see a fairly well-functioning river.
Gretchen, just a second ago, Roger talked about how maybe people don't understand all the research and work that's going on the river. So maybe before bouncing back to him, can you talk about the work that you do with the Nature Conservancy when it comes to focusing on the Mississippi River, and maybe some of your colleagues too? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I spend a lot of time on is actually supporting a federal program called the Upper Mississippi Restoration Program. And that program is what brings us dollars to do the actual restoration out on the river, but also do a lot of the research that the U.S. Geological Survey is responsible for, and also field stations in the various states up and down the river. And so we work on making sure that the federal government makes the appropriations to that program, and then also that the policies associated with that program run as smoothly as possible so we can get that work on the ground and going. I've also worked with the Corps of Engineers on remanaging the way that the locks and dams are operated so that we can provide ecological benefit as well as the benefits we need for navigation, and we've had some great success with that. People often refer to it as the drawdowns, and so we actually are reducing water levels during the summer months only slightly so that we get the plants and the ecological conditions to respond well, but we're not impacting commercial navigation out on the river. So those are some of the things that we've been doing for restoration. Those types of things we're trying to do up and down, you know, from St. Paul down to St. Louis areas, the restoration.
And Roger, there's so much research going on within the River Studies Center here based at UW-La Crosse. But I don't know if you can give any sort of quick overview for people who maybe don't understand the work that you're doing, maybe some of the work that USGS is also doing.
Sure. So one of the things that's good to realize is that we have an over 40-year collaboration with our federal partners. They've been named various things over time. But we are focusing on many issues like invasive species, global warming, and how it impacts our native mussel populations in the area, the impacts of non-point source pollution, including nutrients and sediment delivery to large river from the landscape, and how that affects resources for the users in the area that come from miles around and spend their time on the river recreating and using the river for its ecological services. And so there's a lot of work that goes on in many sectors. There are approximately 12 different faculty from various departments at UWL that participate in the River Study Center, from mathematics to chemistry to geography, earth science, and even history. So it's a good group. We have a lot of interactions, and there's a lot of synergism that goes on. And we've been very, very productive over time in terms of our publication output. And I think more importantly, as a teaching institution, our students become river scientists, are spread across the country and are doing great things as well.
So the upcoming symposium of the International Society for River Science, the theme this year is, summarizing it, connectivity to, within, and among river landscapes. Can one of you explain what exactly that means? Gretchen?
Really, as people have used rivers over the years, they tend to confine the river and not allow that exchange of the river out into the floodplain along with the flowing parts of the river. All these different human uses we have of the river, whether it's energy or navigation or water supply, whatever the case may be, how do we connect that with the water so that we can provide better ecological services? But also, you know, just to have people think about their connection to a river and how it shapes their lives. And so there's kind of a social dimension, there's an ecological dimension, and in many cases there's an economic dimension to the connectivity of rivers.
And Roger, do you want to expand upon that?
Yes, I mean, rivers as ecosystems are really huge conduits that take water and the material that water brings to the river off the landscape, including carbon. So we're learning a lot more of the roles that rivers globally play in not only our water cycle, but in our carbon cycle, which is extremely important to understand right now, given that there's concerns about how carbon is sequestered and how carbon is utilized at a global scale. So rivers play the central role scientifically, but as Gretchen mentioned, also historically, they're they're connections for civilizations. If you take a look at most of the civilizations that have developed around the world, many of them are located on key river systems. And so it's always been a way for mankind to communicate with one another, to travel, to bring commerce up and down. And so we're finding that connectivity is a huge theme, not just from a scientific aspect, but from a sociological aspect as well, an economic one.
And anytime I talk with someone who works with the Mississippi River, you constantly hear whatever happens up here on the upper Mississippi River affects everything south on the Mississippi River, even if it's hundreds, thousands of miles away. And maybe there are people up here that don't really think about that. They forget that the Mississippi River goes from here all the way down to New Orleans.
Right. And it's interesting to realize it's 10 years ago that we had, you know, Hurricane Katrina, and thinking about the role that the river played and the role that humans played in trying to control the river that failed at that point in time. And so, yes, rivers are definitely connected from upstream to downstream, and there's a lot of materials that, you know, make it into the river that we'd like to try to keep up on the landscape for keeping our soils more productive, keeping our topsoils there, and not having them go down the river and then entering into the Gulf of Mexico where they cause problems, especially the nutrients like nitrogen.
Gretchen, did you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to say one of the more interesting aspects of my job is that I'm very aware of what's been happening on the upper Mississippi River in terms of research and restoration. But with my job I have now, I also work on the river from Cairo, Illinois, down to New Orleans. And there isn't a restoration program on the lower part of the river. So taking the information we've learned from the upper river and trying to figure out what might be helpful for them to do more for restoration. There's 1,000 miles of river down there that really don't have any sort of restoration program, any restoration goals in mind. And so we're working on that lower river to take everything we've learned from the upper river and transfer it down to the lower river and kind of create one big river, a whole system of restoration. And hopefully that's something we'll see play out here soon. Myself and a lot of other partners on the lower river are trying to make that happen. So I get, it's that whole learning exchange, but you know, we have this big river, but we haven't completely connected it yet. And we're trying to make that connection.
And another playing off of that too is that we've got the Mississippi River here, but we're having people that work on the Danube, on the Murray Darling. Those are large rivers that have been managed for, we talk about the Danube, for centuries longer than we've been managing the Mississippi. And so we're going to be exposed to other views and other policies and other approaches, and they will be exposed to our policies and approaches. And so, again, a connection of ideas and exchange of maybe management policies that could produce better management on the road.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the upcoming 4th Biennial Symposium of the International Society for River Science. It's taking place here in La Crosse, August 22nd through 28th. My guests today are members of the Symposium Steering Committee, Committee Chair Roger Harrow. He's a UW La Crosse Biology Professor and the UWL River Studies Center Assistant Director, and Gretchen Benjamin. She works for the Nature Conservancy and has a major focus on the Mississippi River. What are some other major themes? And I guess we talked about the theme of connectivity, but what are some other major topics that you're really hoping to either learn more about or engage people in? Gretchen?
Well, I have a special session there about navigation, and as Roger mentioned before, we'll be talking about the histories of some European rivers, but a colleague of mine that works on the Tapajós River, which is a tributary to the Amazon, will be there as well, and she's going to come to hear what, from a historical perspective, we've done to these other rivers, but the Tapajós River is now facing more and more navigation on that river, and perhaps learn from us, but also provide us with the information she has about how the development is actually occurring on that river, and begin that exchange of how we can help to make it the best it can possibly be and more sustainable long-term. Because I actually went to that river. It's amazing. I saw pink and gray dolphins, freshwater dolphins on that river. So it's a place it's very, very special, and we want to keep it that way.
Yeah. And Roger, what about you?
I think we've got a number of featured speakers that are coming in. Besides our opening speaker, Chad Padracki, who's a CNN Hero of the Year Award from 2013.
Yeah, maybe let's talk a little bit about Chad before diving into some of the others.
Chad is a citizen that has been volunteering and cleaning up the river up and down large swaths of the Mississippi, and he energizes communities along the Mississippi to come and clean up the river. And so he was awarded that honor by CNN, and he's lives down in the Quad City area, and we thought what a great opportunity to have him come up here and open up that part of the conference to the larger community on Sunday afternoon. And so that's going to be really exciting to hear his views and see why he's so passionate about the river. And maybe we've got a lot of people already fired up about the river here too, but it maybe even energize more people to take an active role in keeping the river clean.
Can it be understated how big of a difference he has made when it comes to cleaning up and just getting people to think about cleaning up the river? Because we even hear about Mississippi River cleanups, you know,
right,
a couple times a year.
He's sort of put an image on in terms of what he pulls out of the river.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty, the not only the volume, but the diversity of objects that make their way into the river,
the bathtubs,
either intentionally
the tires,
or unintentionally. And, you know, and sometimes they can be hazards. And
mm-hmm.
so it's a good thing to keep in mind, not only for people to get out there and do something, but also to, you know, look around and be careful what they put next to the river, what they're, you know, using as they're boating, as they're camping on the islands. It all goes into the river. And so I think it's a great opportunity to get a great sort of charismatic person to come in and talk about his passion for the river.
Besides Chad and his keynote address, are there other speakers or just ideas that you and your colleagues in the River Studies Center are really looking forward to
right.
learning more about or bringing forward?
Another one of the plenary speakers is Dr. William Dennison. He is also from the University of Maryland. And he's been working with a number of stakeholders in the Mississippi River Basin. So when I talk about the Mississippi River Basin, I'm talking about the Mississippi, the Ohio, the Missouri, the Arkansas Red. It's 41% of the United States. What they've been trying to do is come up with a report card for what's the economic value and where is it at for the Mississippi, the ecological perspective, the water supply, energy, navigation. He's going to come and talk about how they formulated that report card and how difficult it was to figure something like that out on a basin scale of the Mississippi River, which is the third largest mm-hmm. river basin in the world. How do you start to figure that piece out? So he's going to be an interesting one to sort of set the tone one of the days as well.
And I would imagine something like a report card just makes it easy for the public or even just policymakers to understand what exactly is going on and why it matters.
Yeah, it really is. It's taking a lot of information and trying to create a communication tool mm-hmm. for what all that information really means. And there's a lot of layers of information below how you come up with those grades. It's a very arduous process, but it's really interesting what they've been able to do over the, it's been going on for about 2 or 3 years now, so.
So Gretchen, a lot of the, you know, the main part of the symposium is really geared towards the attendees and scientific presentations and whatnot. But as Roger said, there's the keynote speaker that's open up to the public. And I understand there are other programs and presentations that the public can come to and just learn more about the river.
Yeah, there is another, I believe it's Thursday, is that correct? Public Education, Public Outreach Day.
Right.
Yeah, we've got a gentleman, Jerry Ensler, from the museum in Dubuque, Iowa, coming to address the group about how do you communicate with people. But after he opens up that session, then we're bringing the public in to start talking about how do we talk about these maybe sometimes complicated ideas of science associated with river. How do we communicate that out to a broader audience so that people really start to care and start to do things to help the river and create that more sustainable river we think is necessary for us to do well as a society into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be on Thursday, and
actually,
public
it's
is
gonna be on Wednesday.
Wednesday,
so
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And Roger?
On Sunday, again, from noon to 5 at Riverside Park in La Crosse, we're going to have a large tent. A lot of people that work on the river, the agencies are going to have displays down there. Brennan Marine is graciously pulling off one of their tugboats and mooring it at Riverside Park.
The Barbara B.
Yes, and it's going to be giving tours for folks. And so, you know, the Mississippi River is, as a great ecosystem, is a working river. And we're very happy that Brennan is providing this opportunity for the public and for our symposium.
And I know the two of you mentioned it before, but as we wrap up, can you just remind people about just the importance and how lucky we are to be living on the Mississippi River and the role that it does play, not just for us locally, because, you know, we all have our own personal connection to the river, but just the role that it plays within a global system.
Sure.
Roger?
Sure. I think the Mississippi is a focal piece for a lot of research, but also just as, if you think about all the just the songs that people have, you know, there's you listen to just popular music, but music going all the way back. Rivers have played a huge role. They're in our psyche, and they draw us near. And so the Mississippi is one of those great entities. And so I think it's part of who we are, especially in La Crosse, but globally, and people in other parts of the world, I think probably very similar ways about their river. Rivers can be very beautiful. They can provide lots of services, but they can also provide, you know, sometimes some difficulties for us, as we know about flooding, but also the lack of water as well, which is folks in California are experiencing right now. So thinking about how we manage our rivers and what we can control and what we can't control is very important. So.
And Gretchen, did you want to add on to that?
Yeah, well, you know, I just say that, you know, as I mentioned before, the restoration we've done on the Upper Mississippi River, it's become state of the art. When we first started doing it almost 30 years ago, there really wasn't much river restoration going on. And so all the lessons learned that we've gone through over these years are really great pieces of information to provide with our colleagues around the world, and even within the Mississippi River Basin itself. So I think, you know, as our visitors come to the Upper Miss to participate in this conference, but also the residents that live along its banks really need to appreciate what an incredible resource it is. It still needs a lot of attention. I don't want anyone to think it's in a sustainable way at this point in time, but it really is a strong asset for us here and something for us to enjoy every single day.
And when you talk restoration, are you referring to, you know, the islands that have been built, flood control, et cetera?
Yeah, it's primarily, yeah, the islands, recreating some of the channels that would have been in the backwaters. Backwater complexes are very, very complex, just as the name would apply. And, you know, so you've got flowing channels and you've got shallow wetlands and you've got islands and mudflats and all these different habitats that we need. And so biologists have and ecologists have been working on that for years to put those pieces back together and have done a beautiful job.
And Roger, you're hoping to take away from not only the attendees, but maybe if the public stops by Riverside Park for one of the nights, just to understand what's going on here, the research that's going on, but also just maybe look at the river from a different perspective.
Right. And, you know, when I, you know, walk around and talk to my neighbors or I'm at the market, you know, some people know what I do. And the first thing they ask is, well, how's the river? And that's something we always want to have people ask us. And we're always trying to find out ways to better understand how the river operates. And rivers are fascinating things to study and to be around. And so we'd like people, you know, to know that they've got this expertise in the area, both here at UWL, but also with our government agencies, Fish and Wildlife, and the USGS, Upper Midwest Environmental Sciences Center. There's a wealth of knowledge here, and people like to share that. And so if we can get that out to the public in a better way, then great.
Roger Haro is a UW La Crosse biology professor and UWL River Studies Center Assistant Director. Gretchen Benjamin is with the Nature Conservancy and works on Mississippi River issues. They were talking about the fourth biennial International Symposium of the International Society for River Science, which kicks off Sunday in La Crosse. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.